Maybe we can say that whether a slave that was made hegdish by his master goes out free is actually machlekes among tanoim. A brisa says if one is magdish a slave, the slave is not subject to me'ilah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the slaves here is subject to me'ilah. Presumably, we can say that Tanakama says the slave does not become hegdish, and Rav Shimon says that he does. Meir says no, because if that was the machlekes, they would have argued on whether or not the slave is kadosh, not whether or not he's subject to me'ilah. Rather, everyone agrees that the slave becomes hegdish. Machlekes is whether a slave is compared to real estate in the sense that it's not subject to me'ilah or not. In fact, if that's machlekes, why do they argue about the hair of the slave? Let them argue about the slave itself. The Gemara says, because all agree that the slave is like real estate and is not subject to me'ilah. Machlekes is regarding the slave's hair that's long enough and ready to be cut, whether it has the status of already being cut off the slave and therefore subject to me'ilah or not. Maybe this machlekes is the same machlekes in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, or Meir says, if someone gives a partial monetary admission of guilt on grapes still on the vine, he has to swear. For although one does not swear when the asset is real estate, he would swear on the grapes. The Chacham say that he does not swear because it's considered to be real estate. Rabbi Yosi son of Chanina explained, machlekes is regarding grapes that are ready to be cut off the vine. In that case, Rabbi Meir says they're considered as if they're already cut off. And the Chacham say not. So maybe this machlekes regarding the slave's hair, and this, it's the same thing. Meir says, no, maybe that Rabbi Meir only says that regarding grapes because the longer they're left on the vine at that point, the more they will deteriorate. However, the hair of a slave doesn't deteriorate when it's left on, and therefore maybe it's not, therefore it's not considered to be cut off, and it's always considered to be attached to him. So Gemara Vayit, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef said over the ruling of Rav that a slave who was made hefker goes out free to Rabbi, as he said, as always, Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon asked him, did Rav really say that? In fact, why did Rabbi Yechon seem so surprised? We've learned that Ulan, the name of Rabbi Yechon, said, if one makes his slave hefker, the slave goes out free but requires to get shechur. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon was surprised and asked, did Rav really hold like me? Second Tarez of Gemara, others say that Rabbi Chiya told this to Rabbi Yechon, but left out the fact that he also said that the get shechur will be needed. It was to that missing fact Rabbi Yechon said, did Rav really say that he goes, that a get shechur is not needed? Chari said that it's needed. The Gemara says, now this makes sense because Rabbi Yechon himself requires a get shechur to be given in that case. Zakmar Vait, that we've learned that Ula Ne Rabbi Yechon said, someone makes a slave hefker, the slave goes out free, but he does require to get an emancipation document. Rabbi Abba asked Ula, if a ger dies, in which case all his assets become hefker, and he leaves over slaves, the slaves are cutting themselves and become free. Abba Shaul says, the adult slaves are cutting themselves, but the ketanim become the property of whoever takes possession of them first. Now, who can write a get shechur for these slaves, given that their master is dead? So how can they go out free? According to Rabbi Yechon, they shouldn't be allowed to marry a Jew because they're not fully free until they get a get shechur, and there's no one to write a get shechur for them. Rav Nachman said that Ula holds that a slave is like a married woman via gzeir shava, and although when the master is alive, Rabbi Yechon says that the hefker slave requires a get shechur, when the master is dead, no get shechur is required. If so, then just as a man's wife is not inherited by his children, his slave should also not be inherited to his children. Mar said the pasuk teaches that they are. If so, if one makes a slave hefker and then dies, he should go out free without a get shechur. So why does our Meimah say that the slave is left in a place of being only partially freed? So Mar Nechanami, our Meimah's ruling is a kasha. Zakhtamar Rabbi Yaakov Eidin and Rabbi Shumal Levi said that Allah follows Abba Shol, that the adult slaves go out free and the katanim belong to whoever is cutting them first. Rabbi Zeira asked him, did you hear this explicitly from him or did you derive it from something else that he said? Rabbi Zeira explained, maybe you're deriving it when Rabbi Shumal Levi quoted Rebbe that we learned they were shoved from a woman to a slave, which teaches that just as a woman needs a document to remove her iser to marry, so to a slave that was made hefker needs a document in order to permit him to marry a Jew. Now presumably we will say that the slave being discussed is one who, like the woman, is not owned by the master, but only has an iser of marriage on him. This refers only to an adult slave who is koine himself from hefker. However, a cotton slave would not be koine himself and could therefore still marry another slave. This would follow the view of Abba Shaul. However, the reason that this would not be a valid derivation is because we can use the gzeir shava to teach that just as a woman requires a document for divorce, whether she's an adult or a ketana, so too the slave that we're discussing may be referring to a ketana slave as well, or a cotton slave as well, which would not follow the view of Abba Shaul. Rav Yaakov Eidi responded, I have heard the statement explicitly from Yeshua ben Levi. Zokti Gemara Chiba Abba Zeir, Rav Yechon, and said, Allah does not follow Abba Shaul. Rav Zeir asked him whether he heard this explicitly or not. Rav Zeir explained, because if you were learning this from the drush that we explained above, which Rav Yechon was a part of as well, this is not valid, because maybe we should darshan like the initial thing that we said previously, which would then follow the view of Abba Shaul. Chibaba responded, I heard this explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan. We have learned above that Rabbi said a servant that was made hefker can only get married if he receives a get shichur. However, in a braisa, Rabbi says that if a slave is given to Hekdish, the slave may himself give money for his own redemption. He would then be free. This means that even money can make him free to marry a Jew. Mara says, Rabbi holds that money or a get shichur can be used to set the slave free. However, when a slave is made hefker, his monetary ownership has left. To remove the remaining isser, a get shichur has to be used. This argues on a braisa in which Rav Shimon in the name of Rabbi Akiva says that money can never fully free a slave. Only a get shichur can do so. Rabbi Bracham in the name of Nachman Paskins, like Rav Shimon. Rabbi Yosi bar Chama, in the name of Rav Yochanan, says Halacha does not follow Rav Shimon. The Gemara brings how other of the Rabbanim Paskin, including one view of the Rabbanim that said that Rav Nachman followed Rav Shimon. However, Rabbi Bar Shilas discovered that this was based on the following story. A maidservant went to her dying master and asked him to set her free. He threw her his hat and said, be kind of this hat and be kind of yourself, attempting to make a kinyan chalipin. Rav Nachman said she did not go out free. Now they thought the reason Rav Nachman's psak was because he held like Rav Shimon. However, in truth, he held that she didn't go out free because he held that to make a kinyan chalipin, the keli used must be from the buyer, and in this case, the hat came from the seller, meaning the master, and that's why it wasn't a valid kinyan, but not because he held like Rav Shimon. The Gemara says in the name of Rav Nuna that the halacha follows Rav Shimon, but the Gemara says that the halacha actually does not follow Rav Shimon.